I think that the happy story that I like to tell is, you know, about somebody who thought that, you know, they were eating healthy. So they'd be like, well, I eat really healthy and this is all the stuff that I eat. And the scale isn't budging. And I'm like, well, let's take a look at the quantities, you know, and to help them understand that they can be eating healthy and they can be shopping at Whole Foods and buying organic or whatever healthy means to people, but they're just eating too much.
You're just listening to Sumi Singh. What's up, my friend, and welcome back to another episode of the Legendary Life Podcast. I'm your host, celebrity trainer and high-performance health coach, Ted Rice. This is a podcast for men and women who are looking to boost their energy and upgrade their health. So get ready to learn proven health, fitness, and mindset strategies that will help you unlock your full potential. Before I get to today's guest, I want to talk to you about my Supercharged Life Masterclass I'm going to be putting on. So if you want to learn my top secrets to boost your energy, to improve your focus, and to optimize your health, I'm going to be sharing that all in this masterclass. It is going to be comprehensive. And I know you come here every week listening to the episodes so that you can step up your health game and step up your mindset game and step up your fitness game. But this is going to be cutting out all the fluff. It's going to just be action. And I'm going to take you through what you need to feel better, to boost your energy, to sleep better, to get all those results that you've been listening to the show for, all in one place, all in one masterclass. So go to legendarylifepodcast.com/masterclass to sign up now, because we are doing a pre-launch for it. So it's going to be a live class, but after it's over, if you catch it on the replay, it's going to be triple the price. And no, this isn't going to cost you $500 or $200 or even $100. So go to legendarylifepodcast.com/masterclass and sign up now. On to today's episode with Sumi Singh. One of the biggest requests that I've gotten from my listeners, especially the female listeners, is to have on more female guests talking about the female perspective and how women need to approach things a bit differently, or at least get some inspiration from a woman who's been there and done that. So who better to ask on than fitness expert and power lifter, also former fitness model, Sumi Singh. And I really like Sumi a lot. Her and I connected over Facebook, and she's a big fan of the podcast. She had been listening for a while, and I've been a fan of what she had been doing too, because she's so knowledgeable. She's just one of those people that you're going to learn so much from. And even if you're a guy and you're like, oh man, you know, this is going to be for the ladies, I want you to listen. You're going to learn about training and nutrition. You're going to learn about what your wife, your girlfriend, or maybe even your daughter might be going through. And also, you're going to just learn information that can help you as well, because a lot of the things that work for women are the same things that work for men, and vice versa. We're different, but not as different as you would think. However, the way Sumi approaches things, she especially talks about what it's like to be a mom and how to train through having a baby and that recovery process afterward, because it only took Sumi a short time to bounce back in shape. Why? Because of her genetics? No, she, you know, if you see pictures of her, she definitely seems to have those. But more importantly, she knows what to do. She put together a plan and she followed it. So if you are a woman who has been struggling with that postpartum baby weight and you want to get rid of it, you're going to learn how to do that. If you're a woman and maybe you haven't had a baby in a long time, or maybe you haven't had one yet, you're going to learn how to train better and get better results from what you're doing. And if you're a guy, you're going to learn that female perspective, and you'll even take away a few things for yourself. So enough talk, on to the interview with fitness expert Sumi Singh. Sumi Singh, thanks so much for being here today and doing this show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on your show. I've been a fan for a very long time, so I really appreciate being here. Thanks, Ted.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I first started this show, it was kind of directed towards men, but come to realize a lot of women listen to the show and they ask me, hey, listen, I want more content directed towards women. So I was looking around for women who I thought would be good role models, And there's a lot of women out there, a lot of women who are in shape, a lot of women who maybe have done questionable things to get into that type of shape. But I've been following you on Facebook for a while. And what I really like about you is, in fact, I sent a photo of you to one of my clients and said, because she sent me this photo, get this. She sent me this photo of this woman who, she's a woman for sure, but she's like in her 20s, mid-20s probably. And she looks like she's maybe taken something, you know? She's just a little too ripped and a little too big for a woman. And I was like, this is who my client was trying to compare herself to. And I sent her your picture instead. Is what happened.
What was I wearing? What was in that photo?
Yeah, no, it was a good photo. It was one off your, you know, it was one of your photos where you could, off your Facebook that you could obviously see, or it was from your Instagram that you can obviously see that you're lean, that you're strong, but you're also, you look normal, you know, you look like, I shouldn't say normal because you're way above average when it comes to, you know, your performance. You're a power lifter. You've done bikini competitions. You've done modeling before, but you're someone who, like, that's what people should, or that's what I feel like a woman should aspire to more than like the girl who's got the veins on the abs and the, it just, you know what I mean? When they look a little too much.
Yeah. It's definitely a niche look, which I think even like for the majority of women that I deal with, that's not a look that they aspire to. Nobody's like hits at it. I want to look like this. And if they say to me, I want to look like you, it's like, well, I've been doing this for, you know, over 20 years now. It's definitely no overnight thing. Like if you want to look a certain way, it's probably going to take longer than you think. You know, that's not a great message to have to share right away, but it's true. Whatever it is, whatever goal it is you set for yourself, chances are it's going to take you twice as long to get there. Right.
We're going to get into that because it's such an important message and one I also want to talk about why you and I share that type of message and why maybe someone who's like promoting a supplement on Instagram or a workout program on their website or Facebook, why they sell a little bit something, they promote a different message. Before we get into that though, Sumi, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're competing in powerlifting. I know you got, you know, bachelor's degree in biology, you've got a master's degree in environmental studies, and you've been in the fitness industry for, you know, 2 decades now. How did this all start for you?
Wow. So it started when I was very young. I've always loved fitness. My parents role modeled, you know, great behavior. So I'm very lucky. There was always healthy food at the dinner table. Exercise was something my parents did every single day. So it was part of the lifestyle. So I never take that for granted that at least that's where I started. And I started very young and much like you doing youth athletics. And I was very lucky to have a great coach, even at a very young age, who told me back then, you're really strong. And for like a little girl to hear that message, it's super empowering. So for me, I, at a very young age, understood that it's so fun to be strong and it's fun to be stronger than most of the people around you. I just found that to be so rewarding. So that is definitely why it's always been part of me. So yes, I'm probably the most overeducated trainer, you know, because I wanted to do the right thing. You know, I went, my parents were, you know, you are going to go to college. You may love fitness, but you're going to get a degree. I'm like, what am I going to do? Well, I like science, right? And I worked for a very long time doing a responsible job. And I did.
What'd you do?
A lot of stuff in environmental science and, you know, whether I was doing policy work, like I lived for a little while in Washington, D.C. So I was like a junior lobbyist and I did work at a university doing research. So that was all very fun and rewarding. But there just came a point where I was doing both training and working the responsible job and then being a mom. And there was just a lot going on. So what am I most passionate about? I need to narrow down my focus or I'm going to go crazy, especially when I became a single mother. It's like, there's only so much you can do.
Right.
So coming from such a strong educational background helps with the critical thinking that it takes to, I think, you know, understand a lot of the stuff in fitness, because a lot of it we can see through, you know, we can see through with the bullshit, but can I curse on your show?
Go for it.
Okay. So sorry about that, but I just realized it came out. So we do a lot of that. But that's because we come from that kind of background. And I never forget that not everybody else does. So that's also, well, I know we're going to come back to that, but Critical thinking, take for granted.
Yeah, critical thinking, buying into the messages that we hear. And let's talk a little bit about that, because I sell workouts and nutrition plans too, but I sell coaching programs, and it's the thing that I have the most fun doing, or it's the most challenging. And for me, and I think the same situation for you as well, is people need to get results in that coaching session or that coaching plan or program, or it reflects poorly on me as a coach. So I'm personally invested in that. Can you talk about like why people like you and I, we've got to sell the truth, the real message, the reality, the unsexy, I don't want to hear that reality versus what else is being pushed out there?
So what's being pushed out there, and I'll speak more to the moms and, you know, that industry, is like, there is a lot of pressure on women to instantly get right back into shape right after they have a baby. And I don't know why that is, but I mean, I get it. Like, people want to instantly be back in their pre-baby body by like 12 weeks. But, you know, it took them 9 months to get there. You don't expect that it's going to happen right away. So there's a lot of this quick fix stuff that's sold to mothers, you know, 12-week transformations. You know, you've seen the same thing. But so the quick fix thing is the one thing that I do wish would die. But I also understand, like, who wouldn't want to look good instantly? I mean, it makes sense, right? And a lot of the marketing, it probably gets on their emotional heartstrings, you know.
Right.
You know, let's go back to the way things were. And it takes a thicker skin to go like, well, no, it's going to take you a little bit longer. And so that is definitely the unsexy part, saying it's going to take time. It's going to take consistency. And, you know, you're a new mom. It's like 100 other things going on that you have to adjust to. So sometimes, and understandably, fitness and going to the gym is not a priority, right? So that's one of the hardest things for people to wrap their mind around. Like, no, well, I should be right back at it, you know, and that's not really the case. Who knows what life is going to throw at you?
So true. And yeah, with those messages, you know, it's interesting when you were saying that. So we sell a 90-day or 12-week transformation, but when people get into it, I'm like, yeah, you're going to transform to a certain extent in 90 days, and you might have to do it two more times. You know, it's a very tough situation being in the fitness industry and having ethics and knowing what really works, and then trying to package that, which let's not get into it too much, but I think it's just important for people listening to hear that so they can better distinguish, like, hey, get back into your skinny jeans in 12 weeks versus like, okay, no, you're going to make progress, but you're not going to Shape Magazine is not going to be calling you, you know, to be on the cover.
The nice thing about what we can do as trainers is that, you know, you and I have both seen this, that, you know, you get somebody in the gym working out, right? And they start lifting weights, and, you know, within 4 to 6 weeks, even if their weight hasn't dropped, they've gotten stronger already. And that is super empowering. That is one of the best things, I think, that comes with, you know, weight training. Even though you may not see a result in your physique in 6 weeks, you'll definitely get stronger. And I think, you know, we'll hear countless stories from moms going like, wow, I was able to, you know, pick up all my groceries or whatever, you know, like, the basic tasks of day-to-day life become so much simpler when you're stronger. And if you can get that past, you can get your client past that first 6 weeks of, you know, making it out to see you for gym sessions, they're sold, right?
Right.
I mean, clients I've had, and it's probably the case with you, the clients I've had for years, which is so awesome. It's a blessing, because I think there's no better feeling than being strong. But, you know, that's me.
Yeah. And it's interesting. You bring that up again. In fact, you said that when someone told you when you were a little girl, hey, you're strong, and it just got in your head. So for all the dads and moms out there, there you go. Make sure, you know, your daughters understand that it's cool to be strong. In fact, Sumi, I don't know if you saw this, but I think Rob Wolf shared it or something, but it was about how women of the past, like our, you know, ancestors, they were way stronger, right? Had bigger bone density. And did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. But yeah, they definitely have to do so much more than what we do. We're in the convenience age. I mean, women were, you know, lugging their babies around and doing all kinds of physical labor, like hard physical labor, which the woman of the modern day doesn't have to. But You know, so yeah, definitely we are stronger than we think.
Yeah. And especially you see one, you know, I'm not in love with CrossFit, but one of the things that I got to respect them for is you see women now lifting and they're strong and they're outlifting some of the guys and it, yeah, you know, even yeah, you're, awesome. Yeah, yeah, it's cool. I mean, you know, stronger, it's just good when people get strong, both men and women. And women tend to feel like maybe they should be doing cardio. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like maybe some obstacles, some psychological obstacles you've had to help your clients, your female clients overcome to get with the program on that?
Right. No, I agree. Like that is what we see women do in the gym. Rather than go to the weight room, they'll go to the cardio deck. And that's where they feel comfortable. And it's understandable, but unless they line up with a trainer somehow to help them kind of show them the ropes a little bit, I think that's when you start to get them in there. And that takes time. And if you're not able to hire a trainer, if you are going to a commercial gym, you can someone show me around? I mean, fake it till you make it is a terrible thing to say, but it's like, you know, you can either get a book, go to the library, look at YouTube, you know, get on some of the Facebook forums that are targeted towards, you know, women's training. Rent a video from the library if you can't manage to, you know, whatever, go to Blockbuster. Is it Blockbuster?
A little bit late on that one. I think they shut down. But
you do, right? I wrote a book on you start working at home. But, you know, obviously to get the women in the weight room first is the first challenge and to get them out of the cardio deck. But I do understand why they feel like it's safer. The machines are intimidating. You know, there are people in the gym who look, you know, big, mean, and scary and who may not be the most inviting. But chances are, you know, somebody. I mean, in this day and age of the internet where there's so much support on the forums out there, you can find a good gym buddy. Or, you know, if you can't hire a trainer, there's countless resources online too.
Yeah. And really, you should hire someone if you're struggling. And I say that, Sumi, because I wouldn't say I'm struggling with my bit now. I'm struggling with my business. We're doing well. We're making sales. But I feel like, oh, should I do Facebook Live? How many times should I do it? What should I talk about? What do I do with Instagram? How about my podcast? How many times? How many times do I? You know, it's like all this stuff. How do we streamline everything into process? I don't know. What's that? Yeah. Get a coach. I got a coaching call tomorrow. You know, yes, to help me. And I even talked to you earlier before we started hopping on, like, I'm not feeling like I'm always motivated to train, right?
Yeah.
Even when I don't feel like it, I'm like, I want gains, right? I want to see myself get stronger. But with nutrition and dieting down, even though I know exactly what to do, I think I'm going to hire a coach to kind of help me and guide me through the process. And I think men have a harder time doing that, at least from my experience, even though I get hired mostly by men for personal training. But I feel like women are they're very open to that. But I feel like they get suckered into the wrong programs. You know, like you were talking about, the detoxes. Let's detox.
Oh, God. Yeah, the quick fix stuff. Yeah, all the time. But no, hang on. It's a great idea. I mean, if nothing else, for the accountability. And, you know, women, especially, that could speak to this, we lose objectivity. You know, when we go on a diet, we're like, nothing's changing. You know, I don't look any different. And, you know, all that stuff, right? And, you know, as you get closer and closer to the goal, like your level of neurosis increases and increases, right? You're like, it's like watching paint dry, but the changes are happening. And that is the value of having a coach. I mean, it's this extra set of eyes that's completely objective.
Yeah. So, and you take clients online, right?
I do.
Yeah. So make sure you reach out to Sumi. We'll talk about where you can connect with her later. But what's your website again?
Shyla Fitness.
Shyla Fitness. And Shyla is the name of your daughter. And you have this great book, Stay at Home Strong, that you sent me. And I started reading it. And I was like, wow. You're like, no, you're not going to like it. It's not about hardcore.
It's for women. It's for moms.
How to grow your traps in 3 years.
Exactly.
You know, but I started reading through it. I was like, this is so well presented. It's so, the communication, like I could, you know, not easy to think like, oh, well, I'm a mom reading this, but I could see how a mom would read that and say, oh, like she gets what I'm going through. She's been there. She's worked with other people, and it's obviously a really good program. I mean, you're an accomplished lifter yourself. You're a power lifter, which we got to talk about a little bit too. Before that, why don't we talk a little bit about how long it takes to change? And I also want to cover something really important, which is I'm not losing weight. I mean, yeah. I've lost 2 inches on my waist and my hips, but I'm not losing weight. Uh-huh. Let's talk about the first one. And then let's talk about like that issue where sometimes your weight doesn't change that much, even though your body transforms dramatically.
Yeah. So the first one was about how long it takes to change, right?
Yeah.
I always like to say it takes twice as long as you would like it to take. You know, we wish change would happen yesterday. I wish I could, you know, add 100 pounds to my squat in, you know, 6 months, but that, you know, is probably going to take me a whole year. So life is always going to throw you curveballs. And if you don't expect that they're going to, this is my dog, guys.
I like he's like sitting in, for those of you listening, Sumi's dog is sitting in on, by the way, you can watch this on as a video on YouTube.
He agrees that everything will take you twice as long as you think.
Yeah.
So it's a horrible, unsexy message to sell. So, I mean, people always want weight loss to be twice as fast as it should be. And the truth is that weight loss is never linear. And especially for a female, you know, you have the menstrual cycle to deal with, and that causes spikes in weight that we don't always like to see, but you know, you have to be consistent with tracking your weight. And there's all kinds of apps that do that sort of thing. But generally speaking, I think that's the biggest thing, is that we always think that things should, you know, be faster. And it's never that. It's never that way.
Yeah. Well, can talk about that a little bit more. How long, like for a woman who's maybe, you know, 50 years old, and then she's 35% body fat, and she wants to get down into like maybe 25% body fat or 20% body fat. Like
part of it is going to depend on the client, right? Like you get some people who are just super disciplined, super rigid, who can follow, you know, whatever plan that you give them to the letter. And that's great. And if you have somebody like that who can be very rigid, but that's also not the typical person, right? I mean, to be an athlete is different. I mean, if you are the athletic type and you have a specific goal to meet, you have to make a certain weight by a certain date, or you're a fitness model, or you're a competitor, you have a deadline that it's firm and fixed, and you have to be that way by that date, no matter what. But, you know, I deal with a lot of general population clients, as I imagine you do too. And they just don't have that kind of pressure. And it's understandable. They all have lives, you know, they have real lives and busy schedules and families and jobs and, you know, God knows what. So I like to be like, it'd be great if you can follow this letter, but just expect that changes will happen. So just plan for that, and don't be upset if you think you've hit a plateau, but you just haven't, you know, you're still ways away from it. So just try to help them set realistic goals in whichever way you can, and try to meet them where they're at. So if they say, hey, I want to lose, you know, 15 pounds by June, hey, that's totally doable, right? And you can say like, I think if you can lose a pound a week, you know, that's a safe way to go, you know, just expect that, you know, you might have travel, you might have, you know, stuff that happens to your kids, you know, job stuff, vacations, all these things that are going to...
White wine and tapas with the girls.
White wine and tapas with the girls. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Let's talk. Well, could you share a story with someone who you worked with, and maybe she came to you having some... I know you already said that usually people who do come to you, they already know about you. They've heard you on a podcast like this, or perhaps they followed you on Facebook. But
yeah,
how about someone who came to you and they weren't fully, they liked you, but they don't remember all the things you said about lifting weights and protein and veggies and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Right. Can you tell a story about someone who became a success, and how that transpired, how you coached them through the process?
Through their success?
Yeah.
Or I think that the happy story that I like to tell is, you know, about somebody who thought that, you know, they were eating healthy. So they'd be like, well, I eat really healthy, and this is all the stuff that I eat, and I'm just, the scale isn't budging. And I'm like, well, let's take a look at the quantities, you know, and to help them understand that it's they can be eating healthy and they can be shopping at Whole Foods and buying organic or whatever healthy means to people, but they're just eating too much. So to let them, it's always a success when people realize I can eat the things that I want. I don't have to change my schedule. People hear all the myths like, do I have to fast or whatever to lose weight? Or do I have to eat breakfast? No, you don't have to, you know? Or do I have to eat 6 meals a day? For some reason, this is still a myth that pervades. Or whatever, you know? But it's like, I think you need to eat according to what suits your schedule and what's realistic. And eat according to ways that suit your goal. So if you're trying to lose weight and you're a small, sedentary female, you are not going to have the same diet as somebody like me who is on their feet all day long, right? This is not going to work. Like, you cannot eat as much as me because you are sitting down all day long. You're not burning as much. So, you know, what are you consuming? What are you doing for exercise? You know, and when someone goes, oh my gosh, I've just been eating too much and that's why I'm not losing weight. It's magic. It's like, or when they realize like, wow, you know, I didn't realize that eating protein would keep me full. Like, you know, especially because I'm Indian. The standard typical Indian diet is very heavy in carbohydrates, starches, and fats. So it's easy to overconsume. Right. So once I can get them to start embracing lean proteins, you know, they can still cook it the way that's flavorful, that has all the spices and stuff. So they still get that taste, but they're understanding now, like, wow, I'm so much fuller. I look better. I'm not as hungry. I'm losing weight. This is easy. That's magic, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I want more of this. You know, I want more of that.
You're bringing up something that I want to talk about a bit more because, you know, we're doing our group coaching program right now and we've had a lot of people sign up and they fill something out to where they fill out a questionnaire and I read it over and it's always like, oh, I was doing a paleo template. I was doing a ketogenic template. And for all the success stories, and I have nothing against, I really like the idea of ancestral health and eating a particular way. It tends to make the diet more nutrient dense. You know, ketogenic, I've never tried it. I've got some reservations about doing it, but I don't have anything against it. The issue though, is that they're so hot as brands and people buy into it. Like, oh, if I just do it, right?
Yep.
If I just eat 10 grams of carbs and mostly fat and some protein or eat only what, you know, the Hadza tribes in Africa eat, like I'm going to get results. And it doesn't work out that way.
It doesn't work out, but it's totally understandable. Like, we've all been led to believe that there is a magic diet, right?
Sure.
But there isn't.
I used to buy into that.
Yeah. I mean, that there's a magic diet, there's a magic way of eating, that there's a magic program. And you know, we're sold this all the time, but there really isn't. The magic is whatever suits your schedule best and whatever you think that you could do now, today, and forever and ever and ever. And that's the beauty of, like, you know, it's so boring to tell somebody, track your food. Like, who wants to do that? But when you can embrace them to understand that's really what's going to get them to eat all the things that they want to eat, right? I mean, you and I have to sell the message that you need sufficient protein. You need sufficient fruits and veggies in your diets. I mean, there's kind of like the basics, you know, shop the perimeter of the grocery store. It's not rocket science, right?
Right.
But once they know those basics, the rest can be fun food, like all the stuff they're accustomed to eating or that they enjoy eating and lets them have a life, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about the weight thing, because I have a client right now and she's doing really well. She's dropped 10 pounds according to the scale, but she's gotten a lot muscular, a lot stronger. Yeah, she's doing well. But now we're at a situation where, you know, how like a leaner person needs to eat more to power their gym workouts. And now we're like less focused on like, hey, let's get your body fat down by like really being tight with, you know, the calories. Let's put you on a calorie deficit, kind of a strong calorie deficit. Now we need to go back up maybe. And you may end up weighing more. Right.
Yeah.
And
temporary, water and glycogen in the muscle, right? It's temporary. I encourage her that, you know, that's eventually going to go away, right? The minor you regain that you take from a diet break or whatever, that's all going to go away once you reset everything. So I do find that diet breaks are helpful, psychologically especially, you know.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't go away though, right? Sometimes you're just a more muscular woman and the weight that you thought you were going to look good at, maybe you wanted to be 120 and then you're 135, but you're looking like, you know.
I never understood like why women think that they have to be a certain number. I mean, I get it, but I also don't understand it. Like, we have then this idea that 135 pounds or 120 or whatever is the number we're supposed to weigh. Okay, but where'd that come from, really? I mean, you could be healthy and happy at any reasonable weight, right? And so long as, I mean, you feel strong and you're moving well and you're sleeping right and you feel strong and happy, I think that might actually be a happy way. It may be a bit more than you planned for, but why? I would go back to asking yourself, why do you think you need to weigh 115? Like, if you're performing well and you look great and you feel good at 125, why do you think you need to be 115? Unless you're somebody like me or somebody who competes in a certain weight class, why?
Let's talk a little bit about that. So you're a power lifter. Most of the guys probably know maybe... Mm-hmm. The women listening, actually, Sumi, I should tell you this before. There are actually a couple female powerlifters who listen to the show. And so there are women who are familiar with it. But I think the majority of women who stumble upon this podcast because they listen to like my How to Fight Food Cravings episode or something, they don't know what that is. Can you talk about what you do and why you got into it and how it helps you stay in shape?
Oh, so powerlifting.
And how much you lift, too, I think would be a little impressive.
That's all of it. So, I mean, I did fitness modeling for like a really long time. And it is something that I wanted to do because I wanted to role model for other young Indian women that you can be muscular, strong, and beautiful and all that stuff. Like, you can do that. And it's not like, I just grew up with a very different set of role models where athletic was not... the standard of beauty, and that's okay. You know, it is whatever it is. The role models that I brought up were much more voluptuous, and that's great. But I wanted other young Indian girls to see that you can be different, you could be strong, you could be athletic. Anyhow, so I had achieved this goal, which I had set out for myself, which was to be an Indian fitness model. And I did a lot of that physique stuff for a long time. And then once I turned 40, I thought, you know, yeah, I've done that. You know, and I want to do something different. And I've always admired, you know, powerlifters and weightlifters, just because it's all about just being strong. It's about, it's not about aesthetics or how you look or anything like that. It's how you perform. And when I turned 40 was a number in my head. I'm like, I am going to do that. So I said, before I turn 40, I'm going to do my first powerlifting meet. So that is what I did. So I was actually, I think, was it before? When I turned 40, I'm going to do it. So I just set a goal a couple months out from the first meet and said, all right, you know, who do I need to hire, right, in order to do this? Because I have a background in strength training, but powerlifting coaching and programming was just a whole different thing. I am not a powerlifting coach. Sure. So I hired a coach, outsourced all that stuff, and it was great. It was a lovely first meet experience, and it did really well. There's just not that many master's level, you know, very lightweight powerlifters. Like, I'm 114 pounds, so there's not that many. So my first meet was super rewarding, and I've done 4 meets in a year now, and every single meet I've medaled or done really well. So, and if your viewers are not familiar with powerlifting, it is 3 exercises, the squat, bench, and deadlift, right? And you get 9 attempts on meet or competition day to perform the lift. So you have like a first attempt, which means the lightest, then you go up, if assuming that you made all the other lifts. So 3 lifts, 9 attempts, and that's powerlifting.
Cool. Yeah. And, I saw you doing some rack pulls cluster style on Facebook the other day with 335.
Yeah, in case I ever have to carry some really heavy groceries or help you move some furniture, I'm your woman. So yeah, it's an accessory movement to the deadlift, but let's not go into more stuff like that. So, yeah,
but so you're strong. How much are you benching right now, or your best competition, your best meat bench press?
Best gym max was 142.5 pounds. And I don't know kg, so please don't ask me. Best squat was 205 in the gym. And then best deadlift, I think, in the gym was maybe 285. And at the meet, my last meet, I PR'd a 132 bench, I think a 187 squat and a 287 deadlift. And so for that particular federation I competed in, I got the national and the world record because it's a
world record. That's awesome.
But keep in mind that powerlifting is, you know, it's organized by weight class.
Right. Of course. So, the Masters 114 weight class.
Yeah.
But hey, that's still cool. I mean, I trained under a world champion. My jiu-jitsu, the first guy I trained jiu-jitsu with ended up finally getting a world champion title. Wow. In his Masters, but he had done a bunch of stuff before that, but he was like, oh, I'll go and get it. He used to do a lot of Vale Tudo fighting. Anyway, little side tangent there, but yeah, that's really cool. So you're a world record holder. We got a world record holder here on the show. Very cool.
I'm having a lot of fun. I am having a lot of fun. And I do think that longevity in the sport is really important to me. So, you know, as I preach with anything that I do, I'm always like, I'm in it for the long run. And at every single meet, I try to just do a little bit more rather than try to go completely crazy. And that's because I want to be doing this for a long time. So incremental baby steps progress, what we teach with, you know, weight in, you know, outside the gym, as far as habit change and all that stuff, it's so important. Like, I'm never like, let's just go completely crazy with the weights because I might fail. And, you know, we're trying to instill success in our clients, right? As we do with ourselves. So I just try to make small increments.
Yeah. It's so important. Again, not sexy to talk about, but if you want your joints to get strong as your lifts, then you need to make sure you take it slow.
Yeah. Especially when you're old like me.
Yeah. Right. Don't say that. I'm 40. Don't say that. It means I'm old too. So very cool. And I'm glad we're sharing this because I don't feel like there's a lot of women like you out there. I think there's a lot of Jen Selters, like 22-year-olds who have great genetics. And then they just started doing like jump squats and some step ups. Yeah. And then they look good because, you know, they're just at that hormonal peak in their life. The women who take drugs like that one girl, I wish I had the photo to show you right now, but it was just a little like, you know, when someone looks, there's people who look really good. You can see the striations, but then there's people who are like, look, that just that little bit extra pharmaceutical enhanced. And I feel like I can tell the difference, but
you can, you and I are trained to do that. Right. Exactly. And their Instagram and all that stuff, it is such a mixed blessing, right? You and I will find great ways to connect with people on Facebook. I think, you know, the comments that we get are engaging and all that, but Instagram and some of the other stuff can just be a mixed bag. Like, I just encourage people to try not to, compare to others. Cause you just don't, like you said, like, you don't know what people are doing. So why would you compare yourself to somebody else when you don't know anything about their training background? Like Jen Selter, for instance, who might have terrific genetics for big glutes and maybe was just always that way, right? Or, you know, there are people on Instagram, as you pointed out, like, you don't know what supplement stack they're taking to look that way. You don't know by looking at a photo, and they're certainly not going to be they're not going to be open about it. So focus on you is what you tell people, right? And you can cultivate your experience on Facebook and Instagram. And I have unfollowed many, many people because, you know, I might see something that I'm like, oh, this person looks interesting, follow. And then their message just doesn't resonate. Or there is nothing I can compare myself to that person for. And oftentimes I'll get on Instagram and I'll see other powerlifters who I will be like, wow, she looks just like me. What is she doing? And I'll message them and they'll be like, yeah, you know, I'm 5 feet tall and I'm 145 pounds. Like, completely different, you know, levers for me. I will never be that. So there was no point in comparing myself. I need to find somebody who's built more like a giraffe, like Bambi, you know, or people like me, just leggier lifters, thinner, smaller, older. And there's just not that many, but, and that's how you cultivate experience. That's probably more rewarding, that's more inspiring, I think. Yeah. So click on follow and, you know, try to create a message on social media that if you insist on being there, that's one that's actually uplifting to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so good that you talk about that because it's become such a big part of our lives. And it can be something, like you said, if you cultivate, if you're selective about who you choose to follow, what messages you let into your mind, into your world, it can be something very like uplifting, but it can also go the other way if you're just following whoever
Don't hesitate to click on follow. There's so much crap on social media, and that isn't true. I mean, anybody can be an expert, right? That's what we have. What is the name of that girl who, I can't remember her name, that was promoting, you know, pick up only 3-pound dumbbells, otherwise you get big.
Oh, yeah, Tracy Anderson.
It takes a long, 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 long time for a woman to build muscle, unfortunately. I mean, I wish it was that easy, unless you're a genetic freak, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. And there is quite a thing to genetics, too. As much as we don't want to admit it or acknowledge it, it's not just hard work. Sometimes I do not have great genetics. I think I've got good, you know, maybe average or slightly above, but why I had to learn all the science stuff is because just going in the gym and lifting hard, going hard, bro, it just didn't work out for me. You know, I wasn't getting stronger. Wasn't those people who like, oh yeah, I keep piling weight on the bar. It's my first time squatting, but I don't know. It's just 315 just isn't heavy enough yet, you know? So
yeah. Oh no, I know exactly about what you're talking about. I mean, especially being from India, our genetics for building muscle is pretty slim. Like, we are just not a very mesomorphic group of people. You know, in terms of adding muscle, it's just not that easy for us.
Right. That's this metabolism thing, right? The South Asians. Is that what that is?
Yeah, exactly. It is South Asia. And it's a mix of things. And part of it is cultural. Like, we are pushed at a very young age into academics, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's great to be smart. But, you know, a lot of our upbringing is like school, 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 school. There's very little focus on physical, like, difficult work. And so when we're I'm so lucky to have been raised differently. But a lot of especially my Indian clients will come to me and they'll be like, well, you know, if they'll tell others that they're going to the gym, well, just don't hurt yourself, because that's just what they're told. You're going to hurt your back if you do that. Like, my parents are so used to what I do now. They're like, you know, they don't even bat an eyelash. But I mean, I think that's very different because we're just not pushed in that same way. We're just not pushed physically. And that's changing now, but that wasn't always the case. So part of it is cultural. And part of it is dietary. Like, just for the most part, our typical Indian diet is not high in protein. So if you're not, it is hard to build good quality muscle without, you know, the holy trinity of protein, veggies, water, weight training, all that stuff that we know about, right? So that is part of it too. And I think, generally speaking, if you look at like the body mass index and the way South Asians are built, we're just softer. That's not a bad thing. It's not enough. And you can do a lot to help along, but it takes time. And I know that. I mean, it's taken me like 20 years to put on substantial muscle. And if I didn't lift weights, I wouldn't have it. So you have to keep the stimulus on all the time.
Yeah. So you got to it's nice to know your limitations, but ultimately you got to put in the work and do whatever it is that totally you can do.
Yep. Yeah.
And we can all make progress in spite of whatever situation we may have. So true.
Yeah, exactly. Majestic looking. Do you see a squirrel? I think that's what it is. Squirrel.
That's so funny.
He really, really agrees with our points.
That's it. Right? He does have that face of, you know, he concurs. Yeah. Well, Sumi, this has been an amazing interview. I want to ask you, what is the biggest takeaway point that you'd like a woman listening or even a man who has a woman in his life, perhaps a daughter or wife, girlfriend, what do you want that big takeaway to be for women after listening to this interview?
Wow. No pressure whatsoever. I think consistency, time, dedication, that there is no quick fix, you know, and focus on the strong. Like, it's okay to take up space, you know, like for a little girl to hear the message that she must be smaller and she must shrink away is a terrible message, right? I mean, I hear countless times from many clients that their moms they would see their mom step on the scale, or, you know, they would complain about their bodies. Like, you know, kids are always listening. They're always soaking it up. And especially as a mother, like, you do have to be very careful about how, you know, how the voices, not just what the voice that you hear inside your head, but what you're externalizing as well, because little girls pick all that stuff up. So, you know, focus on what your body can do and how you feel. And if you do strength train with regularity, that stuff will become automatic because you will be stronger. You'll enjoy being strong. There's no better feeling.
Absolutely. Well, Sumi Singh, that was awesome. Thank you so much for being here today. And if you enjoyed this interview with Sumi, make sure you go to shylafitness.com. That will be on the show notes for this episode. Also, make sure you check out her book, Stay at Home Strong, the 12-week guide for moms to burn the baby fat and build lean, sexy muscle. And even if you're not a mom, these principles will still work. So make sure you check that out. They can get that on your website, correct?
That's correct. And it's spelled S-H-A-I-L-A and the word fitness.com.
Good. Yeah. Thanks. I was going to spell it, but I'm like, I don't want to mess it up. So I'm going to wait for her to do that. Awesome. Yeah. Well, Sumi, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming on today, for inspiring women and showing that, you know, there's a better way than eating lettuce, tomato 3 times a day and doing cardio 6 days a week.
Oh God. Yes, most certainly. Thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it, Ted.
That wraps up another episode of the Legendary Life Podcast. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you're a woman and you're listening to this, and you appreciated the fact that I listened to you and got some more female perspectives on, then make sure you reach out to me to let me know that you appreciated. And that goes for anybody listening. If you want me to do something, you've got to communicate. I can't read your mind as much as I would like to and as much as I try sometimes. I've got to hear the feedback from you. Also, make sure you sign up to legendarylifepodcast.com/masterclass if you want to get on my masterclass and learn all my top secret strategies to eat, move, and sleep your way to more energy, better health, and a better body. I'm looking forward to having you on that masterclass and teaching you everything that you've been hearing in the hundreds of episodes that I've been doing, all in one masterclass in one place. legendarylifepodcast.com/masterclass is the place to sign up for that. And remember, after it goes live, it's going to triple in price. And again, it's not going to cost $500, $200, even $100, but you've got to sign up now. That's it, my friend. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Have an amazing week, and I'll speak to you soon.